As you look at the title there on the screen, Christ in You, let me start out by asking you a question. How is Christ in us? How can that be? What does it mean to live as those who are risen with Christ, that Christ is in you, that Christ is in me? Last week we talked about the fact that we have a new life through faith in Christ. So we come to a new life. We come out of spiritual lifelessness or spiritual darkness, and we come into spiritual life and light. We talked about having a change in our mindset and a change in our focus on life. We talked about having a new hope within us, a hope of eternal life. But back to this question, how is Christ in us? What does that look like in our everyday life? If it is a spiritual reality that the Spirit of Jesus Christ is in us when we put our faith in Him, what difference does that make? How does that change our lives and the way that we live? What does that look like? How is that played out in our lives? Well, first of all, I want us to see that we have a picture of this in Jesus' relationship with His Father. And I want you to keep in mind that over and over again, Jesus talked about the fact that He said, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. We see a picture in Jesus' relationship with His own Father that gives us a good example of what it is for us to be in Christ and in relationship with Him. Jesus often spoke about the fact that how He and the Father, God the Father, were one. Jesus said things like, the Father sent me. The Father is in me. He said, I speak the words of my Father. And He's talking about God, our Heavenly Father. He said, I do the works of the Father. The Father knows me and I know the Father. And every time He said one of those things, He got in trouble with the Pharisees and the Jewish leaders of that day, because they knew what He was implying. He was implying that He was one with the Father, that He was in the Father and the Father was in Him. In John chapter 10, verse 38, Jesus said that all the miracles that He did showed that, to quote, the Father is in me and I am in the Father. So Jesus, we know, was a visible representation of God the Father. If you saw Jesus in person when He was on the earth, you saw a perfect picture of the Father in heaven. You had a picture or an image of the invisible God. No one had seen God. God had spoken through Moses, through the prophets. God had worked in mysterious ways like parting the Red Sea and the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud as the Israelites traveled through Israel. God acted in miracles, but nobody had ever seen the Father. And Jesus, when He came to this earth, the Son of God, He was the visible representation of God the Father. If you wanted to know what God was like, look at Jesus. So I want to go through a passage. Part of it's very familiar to us. It's in John chapter 14. And I invite you to turn there in your Bibles or flip it on your Bible app. John chapter 14. To kind of set the stage here, this is Jesus, the beginning of Jesus' last long conversation with His disciples before He went to the Garden of Gethsemane, before He was arrested, before He was crucified on the cross. This is the conversation that took place around what we refer to as the Last Supper. This is a conversation that continued as they walked to the Mount of Olives, to the Garden of Gethsemane. This is His last long conversation with His disciples. And He knew that they were stressed out because He's already told them that one of them is going to betray Him. He's already told them He's going to be arrested, that He's going to be crucified. And so He starts off and he tells them, you know, don't let your hearts be troubled. We would say, don't be stressed out. You trust in God, trust in me. And then He gives that great promise. In my Father's house are many mansions or many rooms, and I'm going to prepare a place for you, and so that where I am, you can be also. And He says, you know the way to the place where I'm going. I think that was a leading question because, they were like completely befuddled by what he was saying. And Thomas, who wasn't afraid to voice his question, said, "We don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" And Jesus' answer, and this is where we begin, I'm going to read verse 6 through 14 first of all, and then we'll look a little bit more later. Jesus answered Thomas, and he's saying to his disciples that are there, he said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well." So here's this beginning of this understanding. If you know Jesus, you know God the Father. "From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Well, they hadn't seen God with their own, you know, visible human eyes, but they had seen Jesus, and thus they had seen God. And Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." And Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater works than these because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name." So the gist of what I want, there's a lot in this passage that we're not going to talk about this morning, but what I want to us to get in our minds is this. What Jesus is saying to his disciples is, if you really know me, you know God the Father. If you really know me, you know God the Father. If we want to understand more deeply the nature and the character of God, we need to understand and know the life, the person, the works, the words of Jesus. If you really know Jesus, you know God the Father. And we can see and understand better, we can see and understand more fully who God is through the life of Jesus. Now, all of this is leading up to, how is it possible that Christ is in us, and what does that mean? Everything that Jesus said and did came from the Father. Jesus and God the Father were one. So if you really know Jesus, you know God the Father. Going on to the next part of this chapter, let me read beginning in verse 15. And he's continuing this conversation with his disciples. And Jesus says, "If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor," or another translation of that word is comforter. "I will give you another comforter," someone who comes alongside of you, "to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither has sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. And on that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you." That's a pretty powerful statement that Jesus makes there. And if you want to understand, well, how can we be in Christ? How can Christ be in us? Because we look back and we read his story. It's a historical story. We read about his death. We read about his resurrection. But the end of that part of the story is that Jesus is beamed up, so to speak, to heaven. They see him going up in the clouds, and he's no longer in person. So how can we say that Christ is in us, and how can we be in Christ? And Jesus gives us the answer here. "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter or counselor, who is the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will not only be with you, but the Holy Spirit will live in you. How do we know God? We know Him through faith in Jesus Christ. How do we know that Jesus Christ is in us and we are in Him? We know that through God's Spirit. God's Spirit is in us. God's Spirit sent from the Father who comes through Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is not only with us, but He's also in us. Now, I don't know about you, but there are times that that is a mind-boggling thought because I don't always feel like the Holy Spirit is in me. If I say something stupid, or I'm rude to someone, or I fail to be kind to someone, I'm not feeling very much like the Holy Spirit is in me. But what Jesus is saying to us is, if you put your faith in me, and you know me, and you trust me, I'm one with the Father, and the Father, through me, has sent you the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit is in you. If Christ is in us through the Spirit, now here's where I'm going with all this, and I'm preaching to myself. If Christ is in us through the Spirit, we should more and more and more reflect the nature and the character and the actions of Jesus in our lives. Just as the Father was in the Son, the world could see the nature and the character of God in Jesus. Now stay with me here. If the Spirit of Jesus is in us, the world should see Him in us, in our attitudes, in our words, and in our actions. Now, I've said many times, if you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. He is the best picture or the best image that we have of God. The Old Testament tells us a lot about God and His actions and His character, and we have His laws and we have His promises throughout the Old Testament. But the best picture or image we have of God the Father is in Jesus. And the New Testament gives us a picture of His life. And through that life, we can see and understand God more clearly. And if you want to know what your life should be like, and I want to know what my life should be like, I need to look at Jesus. You need to look at Jesus. There's three things I want us to see that's going to bring us down to this point of how we live out this truth that Christ is in us. The first one is this. Christ is the exact image of God. He is the full image of God. Now, I'm going to read a couple of verses here, and you're welcome to turn there with me if you'd like, or you can just listen. The first one is in Colossians chapter 2. This is the Apostle Paul writing. Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. He says, "For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form." In Jesus Christ, all the fullness of the deity, that means Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all of that is represented in Christ. And now listen to this. And you have been given fullness in Christ. How often do we live below that? That's what God says. We can have fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In Him, you were also circumcised in the putting off of the evil nature. So we have this new identity in Christ. Our old life has been put off. We've been changed. We've been transformed. But in Christ, all the fullness of God resided in bodily form. And we have been given that fullness of God. So Christ is the exact image of God. And we have been called to reflect that image. There's a couple other verses just over a few pages in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. I love this passage. It says, In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things and through whom He made the universe. That's a pretty powerful statement of who Jesus is. The sun is the radiance of God's glory, and listen to this, and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. So Jesus is the exact image or the exact representation of God's nature and character. And one of the essential tenets of the Christian faith, going back historically to the very first century, is that we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, who is both fully God and fully human. That's a mystery that's hard to comprehend, but we hold on to that, that Christ is the exact image of God. Now, if you go back and were to read through that passage that I read earlier from John chapter 14, the second thing that we see is Jesus basically makes it really clear to his disciples, and he's making it clear to us today, if you have seen me, then you have seen the Father. So if we have studied and read and know about the life of Jesus, we see in him the Father. Jesus is giving this picture that he and the Father are one. There's a connectedness, there's a relationship that they are one. And then the third thing that I want us to see is that Jesus' life and his actions were a direct reflection of God the Father. Now, some people have like painted this picture, well, God the Father, the God of the Old Testament, he was mean and vindictive and harsh, but Jesus is the nicer version of God and he's kind and compassionate. Well, that's not true. Jesus' life and actions were always a direct reflection of God the Father. Everything that Jesus did in his time here on earth was an extension of God the Father's love and grace and mercy. All of the character and the purposes and the nature of God the Father are seen in Jesus when he was here on earth. There's another couple of verses in John chapter 5, verses 16 to 19 that I'd like to read for you. John chapter 5, verses 16 to 19. And let me set this story up for you. Jesus came to outside of Jerusalem. Near one of the gates there was a pool that's called Bethesda. And it's a story of the man who had been paralyzed, and he'd laid by that pool for 38 years because they believed that at a certain time of the day when the waters stirred, that an angel came down, and if you could get into that pool, you would be healed. 38 years he had been waiting. He was paralyzed. No one ever helped him into the pool, which that in itself could be a good lesson to us. Nobody ever helped him into the pool. 38 years. And Jesus comes to him and kind of has the audacity to say, hey, do you want to get well? And the guy is probably thinking, well, of course I do. But you know what? I think on a spiritual level, Jesus says that same thing to us. Do you want to get well? Do you want to be whole? Do you want to be spiritually healed? And the obvious answer should be, well, of course we do. But we don't always, do we? And so Jesus comes, and rather than helping him in the water, he just tells him, he says, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. At once the man was cured, he picked up his mat and walked. And this took place on the Sabbath day. And so the Jews said that a man had been healed, and it's the Sabbath, and to the man that was healed, it's the Sabbath, and it's against the law for you to pick up your mat and carry it. And so he gets in trouble by the Jewish leaders, and they come and they harass him, and finally they find out who did this. In verse 15, the man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. I mean, he didn't want to get in trouble for picking up his mat and carrying him. He said, well, it's that guy, it's that Messiah, it's that Jesus. And so in verse 16, this is what we read. So because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jews persecuted him. And listen to his response. Jesus said to them, my Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working. In other words, my Father is compassionate, and my Father is working, and my Father is healing, and my Father cares about people who are broken, and I'm doing the same thing. My Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working. Now listen to the response of the Jewish leaders. For this reason, the Jews tried all the harder to kill him, not only because he was breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. The Jewish people knew what Jesus was claiming, and that he was one with the Father. And essentially what he's saying is that what I'm doing, what I'm doing here, and I'm healing this person, I'm doing my Father's work. Everything that Jesus was doing was an extension of his Father. Jesus was not just doing what the Father does, but he is like the Father. And consequently, we can infer that the Father is like Jesus. Jesus is imitating his Father in heaven. So, just as a side note, we need to get rid of this idea that the God of the Old Testament is some kind of harsh, mean God, and Jesus is the nice one who's compensating for his Father. No, Jesus is doing exactly what his Father would be doing. And his Father is compassionate, and he is merciful, and he is abounding in his grace. Jesus was imitating his Father in heaven. Jesus does what the Father does. And what is that? What do you see Jesus doing when you read through the Gospels? Well, here's some of what you see. And what he's doing is a reflection of his Father. He confronts the complacent and the self-righteous people of his day, and he calls them to turn back to God. He calls them to repent, which just means like to turn and do a 180. He calls people to love God and to love each other. That's not new to the New Testament. That's Old Testament. What God said to Israel, whether you were to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And that's in Deuteronomy. In Leviticus, he says, you're to love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus called people over and over again to love each other. He taught them the way to live again in God's kingdom, to live as God's people. He actively counteracted the effects of evil in the world in that day. He healed people who had diseases. He cast out demons. He gave sight to the blind. He made the lame to walk. He forgave sins, and he even raised the dead back to life. He reached out to the outcast. He touched the untouchables. The outcasts were people like prostitutes and tax collectors of that day. The outcasts were the drunkards, the abusers. The untouchables were people like the lepers. The untouchables were like the woman who had an issue of blood and was constantly bleeding and people couldn't come around her. He showed kindness to those who were rejected. He loved the unlovable. He lifted up the fallen. He restored the broken. He gives hope in the face of sorrow. He feels deeply. You see this in Jesus. You see times when he's disappointed with some of his disciples. You see times when he's angry. You see times when he's sad, even to the point of shedding tears. Now here's where I'm going with all of this, if you haven't already put it together in your mind. Let me suggest that we too, what it means to have Christ in us through his Spirit, is that we too should follow Jesus in those same ways that reflected his Father. We should relate to our world around us by letting the light and the love of Christ shine through us. We need to be reaching out to the outcast, and you can in your own minds think of who some of those may be in our society. We need to be willing to touch, to engage, to have friendships with those who are considered untouchable. We need to show kindness to those who are rejected, whether it's in your school or in your workplace or in your neighborhood. We need to love those who are really hard to love. We need to lift up those who are fallen and struggling. We need to restore some of the people whose lives and families are broken. We need to give hope to people in the face of sorrow. Let me bring this to a close by saying these three things. First of all, if Christ is in us, we should reflect His light to our world. If Christ is in us, we should reflect His light to our world. And our world needs it right now. If Christ is in us, then we should more and more become like Him. I once, a number of years ago, preached a sermon series that said, "You look a lot like Jesus. You look a lot like Jesus." Anybody ever come up and say that to you? You look a lot like Jesus. If Christ is in us, we should be reflecting Him to our world. If Christ is in us, we should become more and more like Him. If Christ is in us, the fruit of the Spirit should be growing in us, because here's how Christ is in us. Christ is in us through His Spirit. When we put our faith in Christ, Scripture describes it as a new birth. He gives us His Spirit. His Spirit is in us. And what we have to do is say, okay, I'm not just going to stick you away in a little corner of my life. The whole idea of following Christ is we give Him all of ourselves. And if Christ is in us, the Spirit is working in us to make us more and more like Jesus. We are being transformed. Scripture says we are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory. That means every step I take closer to heaven, I ought to be becoming more and more like Jesus. And maybe it's one of those things, I think it was Chuck Swindoll years ago that had a thing about three steps forward, two steps backward, or something like that. That seems to be the way our life goes. We're taking a few steps forward, we're making progress, and then, man, we say something, we do something, get in an argument with someone, and it feels like we've taken two steps backward. We should be coming more and more like Him, and His Spirit in us should be bearing fruit. And you find those things in Galatians chapter 5. They are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So if you want to take your spiritual temperature, so to speak, or you want to do a little bit of self-examination and you wonder, how much am I being like Christ? How much is Christ in me coming out of me? Then just rate yourself on those things. In your everyday life, in your everyday relationships, how's your love? How's your love life? How's your joy? How's your peace? What about patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control? How does that happen anyway? Is it just us trying really hard to do that? I've got to be more patient. I've got to be more kind. I've got to be more gentle. And let me suggest that here is how that happens. Because the way that we are in touch with God's Spirit and the way that we are walking with Christ comes through these things. By making a conscious choice to read and pray and to think and act like Christ. And that's my challenge for you this morning, as it is to myself. Make a conscious choice every day to read something in the Bible, to pray, and to think and to act like Christ. Let the Spirit of the risen Lord work in you. Ask Him to work in you. Expect Him to work in you. More than ever before, and I can't get away from watching the news. Jenny's after me all the time that I should watch less news. I guess I want to know what's happening in our world. But it often depresses me and it breaks my heart. And more than ever before, I believe that we as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we as the church, we need to be the visible representation of Jesus to our world. We need to be the visible representation of Jesus to our world. If Christ is in us through the Holy Spirit, then we need to let Him bleed out of our pores. We should ooze the nature and the character of Christ out of every fiber of our being. We need to let His light find its way through the cracks in our lives. You ever think that some of your brokenness and some of your cracks and some of your failings and some of your shortcomings are a great opportunity for Christ to shine through your life to others? We need to let His character, the fruit of the Spirit, grow in us and define our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You that we can come together in this place knowing that You are present through Your Spirit. Your Spirit who is given through Jesus. Thank You that we can look at the life of Jesus and we can see Your nature, Father, Son, and Spirit. And thank You that You have told us that just as You and the Father are one, so we are one with You through Your Spirit. May we live in such a way that the world sees You reflected in our lives through our attitudes, our words, and our actions. We pray these things in Your name. Amen.